The following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
One of the things that we really believe, we want to start our year in a way where it would really allow us to bring some clarity, some intentionality, some real focus. And so we talked last week, and I framed it in this way. One of the wishes that I had for you and for us as a faith community is that we would more fully grasp the meaning of the gospel, and that we would live that out with more intentionality and words that we've used to really do our best to capture the gospel. I said last week was really six simple words, and that is to love Jesus, to love people, and to live mission. And so, you know, if it rarely ever came down to a conversation that you might have with an individual, you know, they'd say, hey, you know, you Sun Ridgers, you know, you have a kind of a unique bent to you. What are you about? Here's your answer. We love Jesus. We love people. And we live mission. And in a way, I hope that throughout this year, 2012, we'll be able to really press into that, because I think that really surmises what it is that Jesus has asked of us. And so today, we're starting a new series, and we're calling it Guardrails. And in a way, this might really fly really well with just really longing to love Jesus. There's something about the way we want to live our life in such a way that we just love Jesus. And we're going to just take the picture, the metaphor, the meaning of a guardrail. Now, we all know, you know, what a guardrail is. There's a lot of different kinds of guardrails, but they are set in such a way to keep us from danger. There's a few different pictures we've got of guardrails. They're used in different ways. I mean, in a way, this is in a meridian. Now, that's a shabby-looking one that somebody's obviously hit. But you see how important that guardrail is when you've got cars that are going in the opposite directions. It protects you. There's another one. We've got this is kind of a bridge. I mean, you may not think about it much when you cross a bridge, but you want a guardrail on that bridge. There's another one. And this is those mountain passes where, you know, you're coming around those narrow corners and you just really, you know, you don't really want to think about the guardrail too much. But boy, if you lose it, I mean, you're glad that guardrail is there. That's what guardrails are really for. They're some kind of a system that allows us to be careful in the way that we're doing what it is we're doing behind the wheel. They're not actually, if you think about a guardrail, they're not, you know, on the dangerous part of the road. If you think about it, a guardrail is actually on the safe part of the road. It's actually allowing 3 feet, 3 meters, whatever it back, but they've designed that guardrail would be on the safe part of the road, the safe part of the bridge, the safe part of the curve. And so we don't drive by a guardrail and say, I don't like that guardrail there because I want to drive, like I want to drive right on the edge. You know, we don't say that. The guardrail serves and it pushes us just a little bit back, because we all know that when we're driving, there's a measure of error that we have to account for. It keeps us from danger. So nobody argues with that point. The theory is that if I hit a guardrail, it'll do less damage than if I go through it. Again, the thinking is, you know, I can put up with a little bit of damage if I hit a guardrail in order for, you know, my whole life to be, you know, thrown into accumulating a whole lot of damage if that guardrail was not there. So we're going to be talking using this kind of a picture in our minds of a guardrail over the next 5-6 weeks. We're going to just talk about this and take it into, translating it into the way we live our lives, our friendships, you know, our finances, our marriages, you know, the way we parent. I think that there's just something that is really, really crucial, you know, as we think about what is it biblically that, you know, is going to help us think through guardrails. And so maybe a way of just by way of definition, it'll help us as we move through this series. What is a guardrail when we think about it in what it is that we're going to be dialoguing about these next 6 weeks? And I would say it like this. A guardrail is a personal standard that you choose that becomes a matter of conscience. Again, it's a personal standard. It's a personal behavior that you choose. And it becomes a matter of conscience. So when you move towards something and you ding something, because you've chosen that as something that is your standard. It may be different from someone else's, but it's your standard. That then becomes a ding in a way where it sends a message that says, this is dangerous. Now, I have to be careful because I just dinged into a guardrail that I set. And so that's really what we want to talk about. We want to talk about it in such a way so that once you and I, through God's guidance, we set these things, that when we hit it, it bothers us. We're still on the road. We're 3 feet from the cliff, but we banged into it enough that it bothers us because we've set that as a standard. It's a guardrail. And so when we hit these things, we see the red lights flashing, we see the flags waving, and it's saying, danger, danger. We know, okay, that actually is good. That's a guardrail that I've set. And so that's the conversation. That's the direction that we would really like to take for these next weeks. They become a standard. And why is this important? Well, I think this is why it's really important. Because if we look to our culture, if we look to our society for guardrails, it's not very promising. Because, I mean, here's the truth of the matter. As we talk about some of the subjects that we're going to be talking about, clearly, culture says that somewhere between, like when we're on the road and the cliff, there's a problem when you go off the cliff. The problem with our culture, the problem with our society when it comes to this conversation of guardrails is that they don't really have them. A couple examples. Let's look at alcohol. The message in our community says alcohol can be a real problem. So here's what they say. Here's what culture says. They say, drink responsibly. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Drink responsibly. But here's the problem with drink responsibly. See, drink responsibly is like a yellow line right on the edge of the cliff. It's not a guardrail. How do you know when you haven't been drinking responsibly? I mean, everybody in this room, I'm sure, most of us in this room would have a story where you drank irresponsibly. Did you know? Did you see it coming? Here's the problem with alcohol. Once you know you're probably drinking irresponsibly, you don't care. You don't care whether you're drinking or that's the whole problem. So drinking irresponsibly is really not a guardrail. That's not what we're talking about. Another example would be sex. Here's a big one, and it has to do with young people and sex. Our culture is really clear. They say, you know, that somewhere, we don't know where, but somewhere on the other side of that guardrail, there's a problem. Somewhere on the other side of that guardrail, it can become really dangerous. Now, we don't know where, we just know it's somewhere. So our culture, when it comes to sexuality and young people, what they say is, don't have sex until you're ready. Okay. Now, for the life of me, I I don't understand what that conversation would sound like. You know, are you ready? Well, I'm not sure. Well, I know I was born ready. So you let me know when you're ready, and I'm all over this. So you just tell me when you're ready. And like that is the problem. There's nothing wrong with saying if, you know, don't have sex till you're ready. The problem is it's not a guardrail. It's not a guardrail. It's not what we're talking about. That's just a little yellow line on the curve. Don't have sex till you're ready. Here's another one that has to do with drugs. Parents, again, you know, here's something that culture says that we need to do with our children. It says, parents, talk to your kids about drugs. Okay? Well, that's not a guardrail. That's a conversation. And I think that conversation is a great conversation. It's just not a guardrail. Everybody in our culture knows there's something really bad that happens on the other side of the guardrail when it comes to drugs and our kids. But where's the guardrail? Like, what are we going to do to help our kids establish some of those things? And here's the thing. Like, our culture thinks it's stupid to have the kinds of conversations we're going to have over these next few weeks. They say, that's what religious folks do. You know, it reeks of rules and regs and all of that. And I would just say, this is nothing to do with legalism. This is just something that has to be thought through. It really does. Last one, by way of illustration, has to do with money. Our culture says, when you're getting into money challenges and trouble, the phrase that pays is consolidate your debts. Well, again, where's the guardrail? Of course that makes sense, but what happens before that? Like, where's the guardrail that will keep us, you know, a lot safer so that we don't run into the financial problems? But again, people say, well, you know, if you're talking budget or if you're talking, that's too restrictive. That's too confining. That's too, yeah, legalistic oftentimes is said. But I want to just push us, friends, as we move through these next weeks, that maybe you would just give some consideration to this. Because I just believe that as we set, personally, you know, set standards for your and my behavior that you choose, that when you pass that guardrail, it pricks your conscience. It's a matter of conscience. And that's really what I just pray, that we would all be able to just move through and establish, so that when we bump into that guardrail, we feel it. And we say, that's a problem. I just ding my fender. Now, you didn't write off your car, and your life's okay, but you got some dings. Guardrails are really, really an important thing for that. So as we talk about this, that's what we long to develop, because God loves you and I. God, our Heavenly Father, loves it when you and I dialogue with our Heavenly Father. And if you grew up with a good father, if you grew up with a good dad, this is what your father did. He established some guardrails. He established some guardrails for you, so that as you navigate life, there's some protection, so that if there's conflict in the home, the conflict is because you ran into a guardrail, not because you went over the cliff. And so that's what our Heavenly Father longs for each of us as well. We're going to be looking at a passage in Ephesians chapter 5 primarily today. And in chapter 5, Paul is addressing a people in culture. It's a really interesting culture, because back in its day, it was even more immoral than the culture that you and I are in today. No kidding. I mean, extramarital sex, extramarital affairs, all of those kinds of things, that was a part of the religious experience. Go figure. That's what they were all about. To visit Ephesus today, you can just see how immoral it was. And it's just a jarring thing to the mind when you actually understand the practice of the day. Paul's addressing these people, and he goes through quite an extensive list, just defining and showing what it is that they really need to be aware of. I'm going to just take it back end of chapter 4, and it sets it up. And I'm just going to read. It's not on the screen. You just have to listen up. And then we'll look at a few verses following that that we're really going to address here this morning. This is what Paul says, 4:32. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. And then in chapter 5, it says, therefore, because of what God does for us, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live in love, just as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But among you, there must not be either sexual immorality, impurity of any kind, or greed, as these are not fitting for the saints. Neither should there be vulgar speech, foolish talk, coarse jesting, all of which are out of character, but rather thanksgiving. For you can be confident of this one thing, that no person who is immoral, impure, or greedy, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And then it goes on to talk about the importance of allowing light to expose, allowing light to show, and be people of the light. And then this phrase in verse 14, it really says, awake, O sleeper. Paul's addressing this group of people. And in this, he's saying, hey, look, we've got big problems here because a lot of you, you're living your life in such a way, you got no guardrails. So here's some of the obvious things. And I think as the people listen to these things, they say, hey, you know what? It's hard for me, you know, to not disagree with you, Paul. I mean, I get the fact that I shouldn't be unfaithful to my wife. I shouldn't be unfaithful to my husband. It's not hard for me to understand the importance of that. You know, I don't think that there's really a challenge in the listeners of that day for the importance of being honest. I don't think that there's a real challenge for them to actually believe that all of the things that Paul is saying is of great importance. But I think there's something behind their questions that says, but how do we do that? How are we going to pull that all off? So Paul's explaining. He's explaining how important it is that you just avoid the ditches on the right and the ditches on the left. You don't navigate life carefully. You're going to roll your car. The car of life is going to roll down the mountainside. And so it's important that you establish guardrails. And so he really lifts the principle of what it is we're talking about. The principle of the guardrail. Ephesians 5, verse 15. We're going to just take it from here this morning. Paul says, be very careful then. Then, because then ties to this whole list of things that Paul's just walked through. I mean, there's quite a list that Christians really ought to be doing. Be very careful then how you live. Now, that little Greek word live is interesting. It actually means walk. And in a way, it's kind of like, if you're a dog owner, you know what I'm talking about. We have a dog and we allow our dog to go into a certain area that, you know, from time to time we have to walk in. And so in the morning, you know, our dog does what dogs do in the morning when they need to do what they do. And so there's deposits left in this area. And I tell you, when I walk through that area, I'm careful where I'm walking. That's kind of what's going on here. We have to watch where we walk. Now he's saying, as you live your life, be very careful how you walk. Well, why? It says in verse 15, 16. Not as unwise. It actually means kind of careless. Like I couldn't care less. I'm just going to walk through whatever I hit, I hit. Not as unwise, but as wise. That's with your eyes wide open. Aware. 16. Making the most of every opportunity, which really means redeeming your time. In our culture, we might be saying, living with intentionality. Don't waste it. Live that way, Paul says. Don't be careless. Don't be a fool. Pay attention to how you're living your life. Pay attention to how you walk. Pay attention to these things because, you know, 16, because the days are evil. Okay. Paul says, you Ephesians, you're living in dangerous times. If you're not careful, you're going to roll your car. If you're not careful, you're going to go into one ditch or the second ditch. The ditch is going to swallow you up. If you're not careful, there will be a price to pay. Because the days are evil. And then in verse 17 it says, therefore, now here's Paul's first big command statement. Therefore, do not be foolish, but, this is kind of cool because here's the contrast, understand what the Lord's will is. He's saying, look, just be honest with yourself. If you give some thought to this, if you really allow yourself to be sincere, genuine, you're going to know. You're going to have a sense of what it is that those guardrails probably should be already in your life. You don't need new information. You really probably, if you're sincere, if you're honest, if you're genuine, you already know. I want you to just stop, Paul says. And I want you to face up to what you know God's will is for you. Now, some of us probably need to hear that because I know that we have often a tendency to play as close as we can to the edge. Like we want that edge. The edge of disaster. We want to be right on that yellow line. The guardrails over here, cliffs over here, we really do like, we have a tendency to like to be on the edge. And the problem with that is that that yellow line provides no protection. And we ask the question, how close to sin can I get without it actually being sin? Where's the line? Paul just says, hey, you got to stop flirting around. You have got to stop that because disaster is going to face you. And just understand that if you do not stop, if you do not quit messing around, your life is going to get pretty banged up. And then, listen carefully, friends, he gives us an illustration. And the illustration is going to make some of us maybe a little uncomfortable. This is what Paul says. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Well, that clears it up completely now, doesn't it? How many of you would say over the last 3 weekends, you were debauched? Any debauchers here? Yeah, right. We don't even know what the word means. See, Paul here is about to explain that drunkenness is a guardrail. He says, I don't want you to get drunk. I want you to set a personal standard. He says that, you know, the reason that I don't want you to get drunk is because if you get drunk, it's a foolish thing to do. Getting drunk leads you to do something that you do not want to be a part of. And listen, friends. Our culture, our society already knows that. They already know that. They already know that somewhere on the other side of that guardrail, it's a problem. Our police department, they already know that. Most of the calls are a domestic violence, 99.9999 alcohol related. Our society, our culture already knows that that's true. And yet, they refuse to put a guardrail. Paul's saying, we need a guardrail. And so he uses this as an illustration to just really capture people's attention. He says, I want you to establish this. I don't want you getting drunk. He says, do this so that if you're ever at that point in your life and you realize, ooh, I just went too far, that would bother you. that would be like hitting a guardrail, that would stop you from going through it, stop you from doing something you know that you should not do. What he's teaching is that drunkenness is kind of like, you know, the importance of establishing a guardrail. Because drunkenness leads to debauchery, and debauchery is the problem. What does debauchery mean? Here's the definition. Extreme indulgence that results in a loss of control. Extreme indulgence that results in a loss of control. Anything in our life that draws us to the point where we do not have control, God is not for. Why? Well, the same reason we don't want our kids there. Because there's a cliff. So, Paul is saying, you need to decide that drunkenness for you is wrong. It's a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. Don't get drunk with wine. Why? Because it leads to a loss of control, and that is sin. And the loss of control has led you to some of your greatest regrets. And the loss of control in others have led to your greatest regrets. And you know, when you really think about it, our greatest pains may be relationally, maybe financially, maybe morally, spiritually. If you really give some thought to it, it's always because there's a lack of a guardrail. Something took place where there was something not bordering us and so hurt. And so that is why I come to the series really pretty fired up. I mean, I've got a lot of personal investment in this because we've come through a story. I think a lot about guardrails these days. Listen to verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, here's the contrast, be filled with the Spirit. See, when you put your faith in Jesus, you say, yes, God, I want to be a follower of you. Forgive my sin. Adopt me as a son, as a daughter. I am following you. When we open up our heart to that, God promises that His Spirit indwells us. And when that takes place, promises to give us a prompting from time to time. He promises to guide us. He promises to direct our life. In my own experience of the Holy Spirit, I've never had the Holy Spirit to me yell. It's like the Holy Spirit goes, it's like God has just kind of elbowed me in my conscience, grabbed a hold of my attention. Say, Mike, what are you doing? It's that still small voice that God promises to use in a way to direct his kids. So it's really an interesting thing. When we really understand and we're honest, we already know what God's will really is for our life. And when we just want to stray to that yellow line, it's like we're getting closer, and it's like the Holy Spirit goes, what are we going to do? It's very, very crucial that we pay attention to that small, still voice. Because here's what I know about you, and here's what I know about me. Friends, none of us plan on messing up our lives. I've never yet heard of a guy that stands at the altar stating his vows, and in the back of his mind he's saying, I cannot wait to get married because I am going to screw this baby up more than anything that I know. I mean, I know you've all heard of bad marriages, but this one is going to be the topper. First, we're going to have a few kids. And then it's going to be really, really difficult when I pull the pin on this thing. I've never yet heard a person with that approach to the marriage. But I'm telling you what, I've seen an awful lot of stories that have evolved where a lot of people, they haven't planned to mess up their lives, but they haven't planned not to either. They've kind of counted on the yellow line. And I know that this is pretty tender, but I just really pray that there would be something that would wake up in us as we just desire to be all God wants us to do and be. And we'd understand that there's something that God longs for, and that is we walk with Him. And a big part of that is just simply allowing time for us to set personal standards that become a matter of conscience. That when I begin to bump into my personal standard, shaped by the Holy Spirit in us, shaped by His Word, but that when we bang into that, I feel like I've hit the rail. And that there's a wake-up call, and I've decided that this is what God wants for my life. You choose. You choose. But you got to choose. So what is the guardrail going to look like in your life? So this is what we're going to be doing, you know, over the next few weeks. I'm going to just raise topics, you know, that really need to be, you know, thought through and wrestled with. You know, as I say, relationships, as our finances, the way that we deal ethically, honestly, and business, those practical areas that we're all living with, dating lives, all of these areas that really, really require, friends, guardrails. But for today, you know, this is where I want to land you. You know, as I've been talking, I believe that for some of you, there's been something very clear that has come to your mind as I've been just sharing this message. You know, something that is really specific. You know, it may be the alcohol thing. It may not be the alcohol thing. For some of you, you know, there's an area in your life where you're just dancing on the yellow line. So far, so good. But you're on the yellow line. And I just pray that you'd understand the importance of your need for a guardrail that would move you from that yellow line and establish something that is going to protect you, that you walk through your life honoring God. Maybe for some of you, it's a relationship. There's a guy at the office. There's a gal at the office. And there's just this little thing. Now, nothing's happened yet. And you keep asking yourself, where's the line? So that if my wife ever finds out and asks me, I can say with a straight face, I'm good. I'm not in a problem zone, but you're right on the edge. As you've listened to this message, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just have its way in your life and just giving something of a nudge where it's... I pray that you're yielding enough, even as you just listen to this word one more time, that you just be open to the Holy Spirit, just in some area of your life, saying, what would it be for you? What is it that you need to pay attention to? You need a guardrail, and between now and the doors, you can set that. You don't need 5 more messages for you to start the good work of just saying, okay, you know what, I've been on that yellow line an awful lot, and it's actually felt normal. There is something that God has just gripped my heart. It's the power of Scripture. It's alive. It's active. We have to watch how we live, friends. And I pray that you would just really be careful. For those of you that are on that yellow, that you would just back off and honor God and just say, okay, from now on, there's my personal standard. I just want to set that. And we're going to allow some really practical things to be discussed in weeks to come. But for today, that's really where I want to leave it. What is it for you? What is it that really is something of a personal standard of behavior? And this is what I promise. I promise from Scripture that as you engage in this, you will never regret it. I meet with a lot of people, and they regret not having it. I've never met a person yet that has regretted just a guardrail in an area of their life to just keep them safe, following Jesus and living out his ways. So would you do that? Would you give honest consideration to that? Would you just be open to, God, what is it that you're saying specifically? I hear that. Will you have the courage to do what you need to do? I pray you will. And as we walk together, we're going to just continue to raise this. We're just going to continue to raise this. We're just going to live here for a few weeks. And I just believe that God wants to do something. Maybe for the first time in your life. Worship team, why don't you come on up? And while you do, I just want to say, there's something beautiful about grace. And for those that have been on that yellow line, I would just say, you know, the most important approach that you would appropriately have to a loving God, and that is to just say, you know, God, you know, here I am, right on the edge. I love you enough to back off and allow a standard that I'm going to set for myself that is going to protect me from the edge. For some of you, you've gone over the cliff in whatever way. And the beautiful thing is that God's amazing grace is available for you too. And we want to be people. We run down the cliff and grab you and haul you up. And for some of you, you've been over the cliff a few times. And you've been brought up and you continue to do the yellow line. I want to say, this time, let's get it right. This time, let's get God's grace to heal you up. Walk alongside with us. Don't run away. Stay in community. Stay in relationship. Walk with us. We want to be truthful. We want to be truthful in love. But we want to talk about guardrails. In our small groups, this is going to be the option for conversation. Study questions are available, and you'll be able to interact with this further. I really look forward to what God is going to do, because we're going to have to hear from him personally. Nobody's agenda. This is between you and God. What is the personal standard of behavior for me as a matter of conscience? Whew. Holy Spirit's indwelling us, for those of us that have said yes to Jesus. Let's let him speak. God, would you have your way with us as a people? Take these words from Scripture, God, and I just pray that they would find prepared, soft, fertile soil. This seed would just land in and take root. And I just pray for the Holy Spirit's activity, even in a room like this right now, real time, that, Lord, you'd speak, and your servants, we would listen. In Jesus' name.